Lord Jesus, we thank you so much that your word is our food indeed. Now we are ready. God, we're worshiped up, we're prayed up, and we're ready to receive what you have for us. So please, Holy Spirit, convict us, encourage us, confirm in us, and change us. May your Spirit do this work, because we can't do it. Without you, we're nothing. We pray in the name of the Lord, our King and Savior. Amen. The Bible says, what did he do now? It's too good for the class. Good. Hi, Hayes. Love you, buddy. The Bible says that God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. For with fear, we are controlled. Going down through history, whether it's the 2,000 years before Christ, when Abraham, without fear, almost sacrificed his son, or 2,000 years after Christ, where we stand today, with one world government attempting by fear to control the people. It has always been the spirit of fear. Fear is not an emotion, it is a spirit. It seeks whom it may devour. It looks for those who are weak, who have no strength. The plan of the enemy hasn't really changed much. The more things in this world that you can find security in, the less reasons there are to trust God. And then, like the enemy does, he pulls the security of the world, the rug out from under you, and there you are, skin knees on the floor, fearful. I'm gonna die. So what? So what? Death makes us better. Death should be the line of demarcation to us all. It should be that place in our hearts that says, bring it. What did Pastor Bob used to always say? I loved it. It was so funny. The statistics on death should not shock or surprise us. 10 out of 10 people die. As Christians, eternity stamped on our forehead, what have we to fear? Pain, suffering, loneliness, misery? For I reckon that the suffering of this present age cannot compare to the glory of heaven. Fear. I knew this guy. In the gym, the greatest jiu-jitsu player of all time. Ask anybody about this man. If I mentioned his name, out of respect, I don't want to mention it because it's not the most positive of stories. Anybody in Brazil will tell you that dude, the best. It didn't matter who came to his gym, what gym he went to, he was the best. He would annihilate everybody. He's a legend in Brazil. Anywhere in Brazil completely, you talk about this man, oh, the best. The best. But competition wise, he'd get nervous. I was with him one time at a fight. I was cornering with, he was my quote unquote master of jiu-jitsu, and I was cornering one of our guys, and the guy's name was Jay-Z Cavalcante. And Jay-Z had, there was 20 some odd thousand people there. People were screaming and yelling. It was an incredible fight. And it was half hour before he was the main event, and Jay-Z's on the floor sleeping. And he looks at me, this guy looks at me, he goes, man, if I could do this, I'd be the greatest in the world. I'd make $1 million. Somewhere stuck between my Brazilian and my Italian accent, I think that was. However, he knew his weakness. There's something about using that as an example. If you could just show up and they say, hey, you want to fight? You're like, yeah, I guess I can fight. But it's the time leading up. It's the 6, it's the 8, it's the 12-week training camp that every single day you have to think about. I'm going to go into a cage. I'm going to go in a ring. And somebody's literally going to try to separate me from consciousness. They're going to try and hurt me. I could die. People have died. And it tells you that over and over. No matter what it is. If you're a chef, same thing. You could study, but you're going to bring my dish to a play. What if they don't like it? What if there's a critic there? So it separates greatness from not so much. Fear. Women have a certain propensity to fear. I don't know what it is about that particular side of the human condition, that rib that God took from man, that he left this fear thing in. But for years and years and years, with 0-0 empathy, 0-0 compassion, 0-0 care, I thought, man, I'm sick of people. Fear. What's fear? Suck it up, girl! And then there I was one day, getting on a plane. I was in Houston, Texas. My son was wrestling at a big tournament in Sucklahoma. I was in Oklahoma in May, in Tulsa. It was like walking into an oven. It sucked. Kansas City. I walked on this plane, and this weird feeling comes over me. And I walk, I take about 5 steps, and I just stop. Whew. Everything in me said, get off this plane. It's going down. Get off this plane. You're going to die. Oh, sorry. Excuse me. And it's one of those planes, it's like one row of people here, 2 rows of people here, that's it. It was just this puddle jumper from Houston to Tulsa. And I was just, ooh, excuse me. I got off the plane, and the lady says, are you okay? And I'm like, I think I left my brain somewhere. I don't know what that feeling is. Well, there's another plane leaving in 3 hours. Like, my son-in-law, who went with me also, but he was on a different plane. We were supposed to meet him. Oh, my. I got on a plane. I walked toward the back. I put the seatbelt on. I put headphones in and started worshiping. And that won't do. I take the headphones off, unbuckle the seat. I gotta go out. Gotta get out. Close the door. And of course, it's like one of those things where it's like now we're on the runway 45 minutes and there's people sticking their head in. And are we gonna close the door? Are we not gonna close the door? Take off, please! And then about 20 minutes later, the plane's up in the air, and I'm, whew. I never experienced that. That was weird. I got weak for a second. I was like human. I don't know what was going on. And that started a 4 or 5 day period of severe panic attacks mixed with spiritual attack the whole time I was in Tulsa and for a day after I got back from Tulsa. Matter of fact, so freaked out, me, my son-in-law, my son, we didn't fly, we drove back from Oklahoma. And my son-in-law was like, what's your problem? I'm like, I don't know. But I fell into a hole about 15 times. This fear and panic, and it was dark at night, and what if all the lights went off and I'd be out here alone in the dark, and these feelings of newfound respect, newfound compassion, a newfound apology for people who have told me now, oh, I have panic attack. What a panic attack? What's wrong with you? What are you, gay? Come on, cut it out. Stupid, stupid, stupid. I was such a foolish, foolish young man. I am so sorry. If you are here and you suffer from panic attacks, this service is not meant in any way to mock, to make fun of, to make little or light of. It is here to lift you up. Mine was a spiritual attack, and it took about 5 days of walking through this valley to God to say, don't ever talk bad about people who suffer from fear again, you fool, because this could come on you again. I was like, got it. Yes, sir. Not going to happen. Heard about people, and before they get on a plane, they take a Xanax. Like, what are you? What's wrong with you? Heard about people, alcoholics, because they're afraid. Like, stop it. I understand now. I understand. But I'm here to walk through this with you. The opposite of fear is faith. What we're about to read, what we're about to go through in the Bible is called the Hall of Faith. Heard of the Hall of Fame, you know, baseball, football, whatever, right? This is the Hall of Faith. These are the people throughout the last 10,000 years of history whom God looked at and said, that's what I'm talking about. No police to call, no gun in the closet, just faith that, like they said in the movie Rocky, if he dies, he dies. Who said Rocky? Oh, that Rocky?
Yeah, I know.
Gotcha. Okay, I'm with you. You're with me. You haven't talked out in a while, so it's just your turn. Now we lift up. Now we call to something that separates the men from the boys, so to speak. The girls from the women. The fake from the real. The fear to the faith. Do you believe that God is in control of everything? Do you believe that he is either sovereign and good or not at all? Because you must now logically and spiritually receive and say, God, I am fearful and I wish not to be fearful any longer. I have had things that have happened and it's creating a PTSD situation. If you've ever watched somebody die, if you've had somebody in your life die, if you've ever lost, now you're afraid. You're afraid. I don't want it to happen again. You know what kind of faith you need? Now faith. Now faith. It's not just faith, it's now faith. Verse 1, chapter 11, the book of Hebrews. Now faith is. Now faith is. What is now faith? It's the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. The substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Here is the problem with faith like this. It asks you to believe in what you cannot see when your feelings are so confusing. It asks you not to be paying attention to one feeling, but paying attention to another feeling. It asks you to read something and say, believe it. It's not asking you to believe in vain. It's asking you to believe to the saving of your soul, to the rescuing of your life. It's asking you to not let this temporary world be permanent. You can live your life and die in faith, or you can live your life and die in fear. It's that simple. Either way, you're going to live your life and you're going to die. Right? Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good testimony. By faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. Please, again, your attention. He starts to go through Scripture step by step. He starts in Genesis. Right now, he's going to Genesis chapter 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Do you believe that? Because if you believe that, everything else will bud and blossom and flower from there. I'm going to tell you something. It might sound contradictory, but if you believe in evolution, you've already taken one step away from God. Now, I'm not saying you can't go to heaven if you believe in evolution. I'm saying you're going to find out that the belief in evolution is a belief in fear and a lie. Because evolution, the theory of evolution, is contradictory to science. Science itself says must be reproduced and visually seen to be believed. It cannot be science unless it can be replicated in a laboratory. That is what science is. Ever? How many of you guys have ever had chickens? Chickens? I have chickens. And we let our chickens breed and they hatch. You have chickens? Have you ever had a chicken and when the egg hatched, it was a toad? Have you ever had a chicken and when the egg hatched, it was a turtle? No? An egg hatch of a chicken and it was an eagle? Of course not. That's like stupid. Like, excuse me, Ryan, that violates logic. Chickens don't have, but that's what evolution says. Well, they're saying, though, it happens over billions of years. So let me get this straight. If I believe in evolution, I believe that over billions and billions of years, that eventually a chicken will give birth over and over and over and over again until it becomes a different animal. That's what evolution believes. Here's the problem with that. If that was true and the earth was billions of years old, do you realize how many bones, how many carcasses? Do you realize that the earth would be 20 feet deep in these carcasses, bones, debris, dead, death, things that will not break down? It can't happen. For instance, you know what a rattlesnake is? Has a rattle at the end of its tail. How did a rattlesnake evolve? Why would an animal that's deaf have a rattle at the end of its tail? What good does it do for the rattlesnake to have a rattle at the end of its tail? Yeah. Yeah. That's stupid. Why would, if evolution says that things are getting better, like monkeys turn into people, like people are better than monkeys. I don't know. Been at a zoo lately? Why are there any monkeys left? Yeah. If billions of years have passed and monkeys are evolving, why are there monkeys? Yeah. Well, they're a little later than us. Oh, we're the top of the food chain, are we? We're the best of the best, are we? You ain't been watching the news, have you? I can go on and on and on. I could talk to you about bats and sonar. I could talk to you about the ocean depths. I could talk to you about astrophysics and explain to you why every real scientist says evolution's a joke. It can't be. Now, even those that don't believe in God, okay, well, they don't might not know how everything was created, but they don't might believe it's God, but it certainly didn't evolve over billions of years. It just It's illogical. It takes more faith to believe in evolution than it does God. Now, why am I camping here? Because it's the number one. I'll read that to you again. By faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. God said, be, and it was. The word in the Hebrew is bara, create. God is the only one, the only thing, the only whatever you want to call it, who can make something out of nothing. That's that word, bara. Be done. Flung the stars into space. Named every single one of them. And yet, condescended to look down upon you, brother, and say, I care about every detail of your life. Every single detail. Wow. That's amazing.
Non-believers don't believe. Where the heck did God come from? You know?
Is, was, always will be.
I know, but they don't understand that part.
It's true. I heard a guy put it this way one time, and I like this, and every time I say this, somebody always comes up and goes, yeah, I like that, that's cool. The world is currently spinning at 60,000 miles an hour, going around the sun, and spinning at 60,000 miles an hour. If nobody's in control, we should be afraid. But if somebody is in control, we should be in awe. That's fact. That's not like maybe. Oh, well, is the earth really? Yeah, it's 60,000 miles an hour around the sun. If nobody's in control of that, do you realize what it can take for the whole thing to go down the crapper? One bump, one shift, one access. Nobody's in control? We got problems. Somebody's in control? We got solutions. I'm on the side of the one in control. What do I got to fear? Continuing, let's roll through these. By faith, Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice. This is from Genesis 4:3. Now, what's going to happen real quick, guys? I'm going to start reading. I'm going to give you the references. If you know these things, salut. You know, well done. If you don't know these things, let this be the poking of your spiritual side. Come on. You got to know these things. You got to read these. What we're reading is the hall of faith, the patriarch, the matriarchs, all of those people who have gone before us, heard the voice of God, and started to obey. Listen, guys, you are coming to a church. The world outside is falling apart in fear. Worried about the next, when are you going to get another vaccine? Should I keep wearing my mask? What should I do? Should I talk to people? What about my kids? What if my kids get this virus? Oh my goodness, am I going to get it again? Because I had it once, sorry, what should I do? And I'm with you. And I say the same thing. I made him laugh at least. Thank you, pal. I appreciate that. I'm with you. Man, I don't want to go through that thing again. It's just a year. It's just over a year now that me and my wife have been there. I don't want to go through it again. That sucked, huh, Dean? But what are you going to do? You going to walk around afraid? I reckon that being afraid is worse than death. Being afraid is dying every day. Dying once is being in the presence of God. You do believe that, don't you? Because if you don't, I'm here to tell you it's time to believe that. So anyway, as we go through this, I'm going to give you the scripture verses, and you can look them up later, or you can start reading the book of Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, all through the Old Testament. And it's a wonderful read, and it's an enjoyable ride. By faith, Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and through it, he being dead, still speaks. If you don't know the story, Abel brings to God a lamb. Cain brings to God a bunch of vegetables. And for whatever reason, which we now have the 2,000 years of experience to understand, what the big difference was, or 3,500 years, is that Cain offered the lamb, which was going to be in the future, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This was what's called in the Old Testament the foreshadowing of Christ. And Cain couldn't handle it. And God didn't tell Cain, "Cain, you blew it, you idiot." He said, "Hey, man, it's all right. That's just not part of the plan. It's okay. You can still do well. Don't let this sit so heavy on you." And you know what he said? "I hate my brother because he did better than me." So he killed him. By faith, Enoch was taken away so that he did not see death and was not found because God had taken him. Before he was taken, he had this testimony that he pleased God. That's from Genesis chapter 5 and verse 21. There was a guy named Enoch, and it says that he walked with God. And here's an old story. This is a great story. God says to Enoch one day, "Hey, you want to go for a walk?" And he goes, "Where are we going?" He goes, "I don't know, pack a lunch." So he goes to walk with God. And at one point, Enoch says, "Hey, God, it's getting late. We better get home." And God says to him, "You know what? It's closer to my house than it is yours. Let's go there." If you don't know the story, Enoch is one of the two men in the Bible who never tasted death. It says that he pleased God and then was no more. God just took him. What a story that is. Genesis chapter 5. Listen. "But without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him." That's a crazy verse, guys. That's a crazy verse. Faith is also a muscle, and it must be exercised. "I'm never going to make it. I'm not going to make it. I don't know how I'm going to make it." Try. Try. "By faith, Noah," Genesis chapter 6, "being divinely warned of things not yet seen, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his household, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is according to faith." You want to hear something crazy? If you read chapter 6 of Genesis, he doesn't just say, "Well, there's this guy named Noah and he built a boat." No. He gives the exact dimensions. "Here's what I want you to do. I want you to build this thing, okay? And I want you to make it this big and that big and that big. I want you to put this there, that there, this there, that there." The whole thing is laid out in the Bible. You know what these crazy people did? I think it's in Utah. Correct me if I'm wrong. They did it. Kentucky? They built one. Exact specs. And you go there, and people are like, to this day. And here's the crazy thing. You could go there, see this thing, and imagine how it was in the days of Noah. People in the days of Noah are like, "What's that?" "It's an ark." "What's an ark?" "It's a boat." "Why are you building it?" "God told me to." "For what?" "Well, there's this rain that's going to fall from the sky." Now, at the time, if you read the book of Genesis, the water came up from the ground. It never rained. The earth was filled with a crust. A firmament. Water never came from the sky. The earth was like a greenhouse. There were no ions and protons and croutons coming from the sky. So men lived hundreds of years. Animals lived thousands of years. That's where the dinosaurs came from. If you know anything about reptiles, they just grow until they die. They never stop growing. "Oh, I didn't know that." Yeah, well, now you do. What'd Biggie say? "If you don't know, now you know." Sorry. So he said to them, what are you building the boat for? And he said to them, do you know what's been said about Noah? This is great. You're going to love this. It's been said about Noah that he preached 120 years and didn't see one convert. Because when the boat was closed by God, was shut, the door was shut by God, there was just him and his kids. But that wasn't the truth, was it? Noah had 6 converts, his kids. And let me tell you something. What a picture for us here that have kids. Man, if you spend your life doing ministry, but your kids don't walk with the Lord, there's an emptiness you'll always regret. And make your family your first ministry above everything else. What a reward. What a reward to get to heaven and say, well, I didn't lead anybody to Christ but my kids. And God will say, well done, good and faithful servant. In this world, you brought your kids to the Lord. Hallelujah. What a great story. What a great testimony. What a great testimony of what? Faith. Faith. 8, by faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he would receive as an inheritance. And he went out, not knowing where he was going. By faith, he dwelt in the land of promise as a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise, for he waited for the city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. That's from Genesis 12:1, where after the flood, God decided he was going to forge his chosen people, and he said, Abram, you got it. The blessing is upon you. From your seed will come those that are as numerous as the sand on the beach. They can't be counted. And Abram, all along the way, was just a, pardon me, but a bumbling idiot. Oh, this is not my wife. This is my sister. Oh, that's not my, you know. One by one, he just screwed up over and over again. But he took little steps of faith. Little step. Well, I'm going to go out, but I'm not going to go out alone. I'm going to take my cousin's kid with me. You know, I'm going to have my nephew. He'll be there. And just one step at a time. And yet, after all that bumbling and all those terrible decisions, God called him friend and said, my grace is sufficient. He believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. You know the Bible says that about Abram? It wasn't what he did, it's what he believed. By faith, Sarah, who is, in case you didn't know, that's Abram's wife, also received strength to conceive seed, and she bore a child when she was past the age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore, from one man, and him as good as dead, were born as many as the stars of the sky in multitude, innumerable as the sand which is beyond, which is by the seashore. So Abram's wife, does anybody remember how old she was when she got pregnant? 90. Excuse me? A great story if you read that from Genesis 23. Hey, you're going to have a baby. Sorry. What are you laughing about? I wasn't laughing. No, you laughed. No, I didn't. Like, God heard you laugh. Wasn't me? It was Hagar. You got to read the story. It's amazing. And what a picture of the type of the flesh of Ishmael and the type of Isaac, the child of promise. But listen what he says. Verse 19, I'm sorry, 13 with my glasses on. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, were assured of them, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. What did the Apostle Paul say? You have your citizenship where? Heaven. Yeah, a few of the promises have come to pass, but you know what the greatest promise that we're waiting for, the same that they're waiting for, is heaven. And if we hold on, not to God's going to meet our needs according to his riches and glory, which is great. Not that everything's going to turn out good if we just, not the small promises, the biggest promise, heaven. They can kill you, but they cannot put your soul in hell. What did the Lord Jesus say? Don't be afraid of him who can kill the body and after that do nothing else. Be afraid of him that can kill your body and then cast your soul into hell. And there's only one who can do that. That's the Lord Jesus. Have reverence unto God and not fear of the devil. Yeah, he can make your life miserable for a few weeks, a few months, a few years. But oh, the blip between your birth date and your death date, if you look at it, if you go to the cemeteries and you see that little line, born this day, that, and that little line is just a little line. Eternity. Eternity. For those, verse 14, who say such things declare plainly that they seek a homeland. And truly, if they had called to mind that country which they had come out, they would have had opportunity to return. But now they desire a better, that is, a heavenly country. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. Let me explain to you what he says there. And it's so applicable. The Israelites left Egypt. And the first thing that happened is they realized, this sucks out here. I want to go back. Application. How many of you guys got saved? And maybe you got saved through, I'll be bold enough to say, maybe you got saved by a lying preacher who told you, come to the Lord and everything's going to be fine. Everything's going to work out after that. You're going to be champion. You're going to sell $1 million. You're going to find a woman, a husband, a man. And what happens? You come to the Lord and you're like, hey, wait a second. Things ain't working out in my life the way I planned them. And here he says, and so many people, they want to go back. I'm going back to Egypt. I'm going back to the world. And I got better things to do on a Saturday night. I don't have to get up Sunday morning and get to church at 10 o'clock. Forget that. Here, he says that those who don't turn back, even when things get tough, God is not ashamed to stand before the angels and say, oh, I love that one. I love that one. I am not ashamed to be called his God, because despite how bad things got for her, she stuck with me. And I'm going to stick with her. Huh? Not bad. By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac. And he who had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said, in Isaac your seed shall be called, concluding that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from which he also received in a figurative sense. Please, if you've not read that story, that's from Genesis chapter 22. Abraham finally has a son. He's 100 years old. His wife is way past, you know, things. And she has a baby. And oh, God showed up. And God says, I want you to sacrifice your son to me. Yeah. And Abraham, at this point, he's tired of being a bumbling fool. He was like, you know what? I believe in resurrection. I believe. God tells me to do this. I'm going to do it. So he travels. You ready for this? To Mount Moriah. 3 days' journey onto the mountain, which 2,000 years later, another guy died on that same exact mountain. Guess who that was? 2,000 years later. And Isaac looks and says, Dad, where's the sacrifice that we're going to offer to God? And the words that God gave, that Abraham said, he said, God will provide himself the sacrifice. Now, in your Bible, it said God will provide for himself. But that word for is italicized if it's a New King James, which means it was added for continuity. But it's not really there. He said God will provide himself the sacrifice. And he did. He sent himself. Ah. If you don't know these stories, I mean, like, each one of these is a 3-week Bible study, and I'm running through them fast. Concluding that God was able to raise him up, even from the dead, which he also received in a figurative sense, because he was dead. So if he got him, and he was dead, and he got raised, he can raise him, so I'm not going to be afraid, and he did it. You got to read the story. Genesis 27. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. By faith, Jacob, when he was dying, blessed each of the sons of Joseph and worshipped, leaning on the top of his staff. By faith, Joseph, Genesis chapter 50, when he was dying, made mention of departure of the children of Israel and gave instructions concerning his bones. By faith, Moses, Exodus chapter 2, when he was born, was hidden 3 months by his parents because he saw he was a beautiful child, and they were not afraid of the king's command. Please, I got to stop here again. I know I'm not going to go long. I'm going to be on time. It's 10 to 12. I got 10 minutes, and then you can leave. Hey, Moses' mother told the government, no, you cannot have my kid. The king of Egypt said, look at these Israelites. We made them slaves, but you know what making them slaves has done? It's made them strong. You know what giving our people servants has made us? Weak. So here's the command. I want all you maidservants, every time a boy is born, throw him into the Nile River. Feed the crocodiles, all the boys. The girls we can keep for servants and wives. Do you know that happened? Why do you think when the Passover happened, God said, you curse yourself, your own command, that's what I will make. They killed the firstborn of all the Israelites. So when they government now, and you got all of these pastors that are coming out saying, you must obey because the Bible says to obey the... Really? Sorry. You can't have my kid. I don't care what law you pass. I don't care what you tell me to do. Just like Moses' son, I looked at my son, I looked at my daughters, and I said, they're beautiful, and you can't have them. I will not sacrifice them. Because in these days, we are sacrificing our children just every bit as much as they were then. Be careful. The public school system, abortion, drugs, medication, you name it. You be very, very careful who is teaching your children. Well, I can't not because the government says... I got something for the government. They were not afraid of the king's command. By faith, Moses, when he became of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin, esteeming the reproaches of Christ greater riches than the treasures. Oh, I love that. This was 2,000 years before Christ. What is he talking about? Because he had his eyes on something better and something bigger and something further away than today, Christ. Even back then, before he was born, in the flesh, that is. He looked to the greater reward. He looked to the reward. By faith, he, speaking of Moses, chapter 10 of the book of Exodus, forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. By faith, he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he who destroy the firstborn should touch him. Do you not know this story? Do you not know? Let my people go, Moses said. And God said, okay, you're going to lead these people out? Yes, I'm going to lead them out. He said, I want you to do. I want you to get a lamb, a little baby lamb. I want you to bring it to your house. I want you to take care of it. And then on the day that I tell you, I want you to kill it in front of your whole family. You ever see a baby lamb? And then I want you to take blood, and I want you to put it on the doorposts and the lintel. Oh, I don't know. What does that look like? Thousands of years before, he's foreshadowing this. He's telling them, this is what it's going to look like. This is going to be. Will you do it by faith? Think about how stupid this is. A lamb in the house, kill it, put the blood on the door. Why? The angel of death shall pass you by. That makes no sense. I'm not asking you to tell me it makes sense. I'm not asking you to tell me what makes sense. I'm asking you to believe because I say so. That's what God says, and in a word, that's what he's telling us. I'm not telling you you don't have reasons to be afraid. You got a million reasons to be afraid, and then some. I'm asking you not to be afraid anyway. I'm asking you to believe I have overcome the world. I'm asking you to believe that I came to give life and life abundant. That's what I'm asking you to. I'm asking you, no matter what you do, to live for me and not the temporary pleasures of this world. I'm asking you, if you're a salesperson, you're a salesperson for Christ. I'm asking you, if you are a landscape designer, you're a landscape designer for Christ. I'm asking you, if you're a purse salesperson. I'm asking if you're a fighter. I'm asking if you're a jiu-jitsu player. I'm asking if you're a boxer. I'm asking if you're a wrestler. I'm asking if you're a homemaker. I'm asking if you're whatever, if you're a tattoo artist. Okay, Chase, I didn't forget you. Be a tattoo artist for Christ. And God will use it, and he'll bless it. I'm asking you to let the pleasures of this world pass before you. You know, Mikey, every day when your guys show up to pick up that thing, every time they show up to pick it up, the testimony of your love for me is evident. You are a garbage man for Christ. Hallelujah. There's still people willing to use their business. By faith, they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, whereas the Egyptians attempting to do so were drowned. Exodus chapter 12, if you've never heard the story, Moses stands on the side and says, stand back and see the salvation of the Lord, and the waters rise up, and the sea is split, and the people go through. And the Egyptians are like, I don't know, but we're going, and the water falls back and washes them away. Craziness. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they were encircled for 7 days. Joshua 6:20. I want you to go around the wall 6 times and don't say a word, nothing, zero. On the 7th time, I want you to shout with all your might, and those walls will come tumbling down. What a picture. What a story. What a testimony. Now, can you imagine the general that said, okay, I'm going to do that. We're going to what? You're going to march around the wall. Why? Do it. And then what? Just shout. Listen, I know that you don't understand science, but when you have stone and mortar, you need a battering ram. Voices don't tear walls down. If you want us to take, just do it. Craziness. Craziness. By faith, Joshua 2:9, the harlot Rahab did not perish with those who did not believe when she had received the spies with peace. And here, the writer of Hebrews, who I believe is the Apostle Paul, then says, what more shall I say? For time would fail me to tell of Gideon and I find it amazing that the Apostle Paul, who wrote the longest sentences in the history of mankind, who knew nothing about periods but just commas. All he does is commas, 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 commas. If you read anything that Paul's, and then this, and then this, and then parenthetically, comma, this. He said, if time doesn't permit me. Well, now you're running out of time, Paul. That's why all the time you see, what is it, you guys ever heard the saying? What does it mean when a preacher looks at his watch? Absolutely nothing. To tell of Gideon, Judges 6, Barak, Judges 14, Samson, Judges 13, Jephthah, Judges 11, also of David from 1 Samuel, and Samuel and the prophets who through faith subdued kingdoms, worked righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouth of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weaknesses were made strong, became valiant in battle, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again. 1 Kings 17. Others, give me your attention, please. This might be you. And here's the sad part. I think the rest of the chapter is others. Might be us. Others here is not a good thing. But others here is what we can relate to. Others here is what I can relate to. And I'm going to tell you why. I'm going to confess to you the shaking of my faith. This virus, rape, child abuse, I always struggle with them. But God, why would you let that happen? I'm struggling with this, God. Are you not all good? I mean, I don't want to be like throwing some pebble into the shoe of your faith, but I don't understand. Why would you let that happen? And then I go, others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, so they might obtain a better resurrection. Still, others had trials of mockings and scourgings, yes, and of chains and imprisonment. They were stoned. They were sawn in two. They were tempted. They were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented. Before we read 38, you know, it's great because you read these amazing stories about these people who through faith, man, they subdued, they took the sword, and he took a jawbone and slayed 1,000, you know, people. You read about these things of faith, and he said, but others. You know, there's a story about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And the king, Nebuchadnezzar, said, I'm going to throw these guys into a furnace. And I think it was Shadrach or Meshach, one of them, said to him, hey, you know what? We're not going to bow down before you. But know this, even if God doesn't deliver us, he's still God and you're not. Yeah, I've had some people die of COVID. It's like, but I prayed. But I believed. But not her. Not him. Some didn't accept deliverance. I mean, you know who the first Christian martyr was? It was Andrew. Walked with the Lord. Walked with the Lord. Saw miracles. Did miracles. Him and his brother. And some centurion said, just stab him. And they stabbed him. And he did. I mean, could you imagine? But God said, but others, still others, I'm not promising you you're going to get delivered. I'm promising you that faith will be rewarded. You might be still others. Man, I wish we could end this thing on a higher note. But I don't know why he didn't end it on a higher note. I mean, maybe next week is a higher note. But right now, it's just 38, of whom the world was not worthy. Oh, I love that line. Those who believed and yet still suffered, you hear what it says about them? The world wasn't worthy of them. There's an old school Calvary Fort Lauderdale guy named Al Nunez. I've known Al since the day I got saved. Al's old school softball player, just a servant, just loves God, just been there forever. He's dying right now in bed with COVID. And he's not an old guy. He's my age, 55, 60 years old. Oh, Hispanic dude, Al, the great man. Hey, what's up, Ryan? What's the Lord doing in your life? That's how he is. And here he is dying. That's I've been praying. And Todd, how's he doing? Yeah, we need a miracle. World's not worthy. It's amazing the world had Al that long. They wandered in deserts and mountains and dens and caves of the earth. And all these, having obtained a good testimony through faith, did not receive the promise. They did not receive the promise. Why? God having provided something better for us, that they should not be made perfect apart from us. Let me tell you something about that verse. 39 through 40 is a mystery. What does that mean? They will be made perfect with us at the same time. We will be made perfect together. But if they die before us or they die after us, then we're not made perfect together. No. There is no time in eternity, guys. The people who died at the flood of Noah, the people who died at the crucifixion of Christ, the people who die at the second coming, they all get to heaven at the exact same time. Eternity. You're freaking me out here, Ryan. Well, here's the picture. Chuck Missler described it this way. Now, if you not know who Chuck Missler is, he's a quantum physicist, preached the gospel for 60 years, no scandals, nothing. He's just a quantum physicist preacher. He said, let me put it to you in a way that you can understand. God is in heaven looking down, and your life is a parade. And there's the beginning, and there's the end, and there's all the fun things. Think about a parade, you know, that goes by, and there's this, and there's that. And God's up in heaven, and he sees the whole thing at once. And he can change anything around he wants, any way he wants. He's outside of time, and we're going to be outside of time. How long is eternity? Chuck Missler said. Think about a bird, a hummingbird, who goes to sharpen his beak on the side of a mountain. And every day he goes there and he rubs his beak, a little, just cleans the stuff off his beak on that mountain. When that mountain is worn down to nothing, that's one day in heaven. I was like, that's cool. I like that. So, in closing, for you here that have been suffering in fear, let me tell you how to overcome this fear. Here's the prescription now that we know the disease. Faith comes by hearing the word of God. What you just did today was hear the word of God, but far more important than what I did today is what you can do tomorrow morning. Genesis chapter 1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Start tomorrow and watch your fear dissipate. But if you spend 5 hours watching TV and no time at all reading the Bible, you got to think to yourself, scientifically speaking, that would be a better recipe for fear than faith, would it not? Just being logical. Intended to on purpose. What's going on right now with the governments? Let's leave that there. Amen? Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for your word, which is true and real and perfect and powerful and freeing. Your word says where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. God, we thank you so much for the freedom that you offer us. May we embrace the freedom. And God, I do pray for my sisters that are here and some of my brothers also, God, that are panicking, that gulp breaths, hoping that this will pass by them. Lift their fear now. May the enemy be defeated in their life. For your word says, if we are simple concerning what is evil and wise concerning what is good, then the God of peace will crush Satan under our feet. God, I pray for my sisters that are here that suffer with fear and panic. God, that you would let them crush Satan under their feet. They would know that their faith comes not from a man, but from a living and loving God. As good a husband as they may have, you are the best. Be my wife and my daughter's rock and salvation. You are the rock that is higher than we. God, and prepare us for tonight. May we be bold tonight. May we charge the gates of hell and shake them until those that are appointed for salvation would be saved tonight. Prepare everything that happens between now and 6 o'clock, God, in our hearts to be there. And may the enemy's plan to have us not be there be defeated. We love you, God, and we thank you for your word. May it sink deep into our hearts and set us free. Freedom. In the name of Christ, amen. Amen.